Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. I'm Joe, and I'm joined here by a huge group of talented players, writers, keepers. But before we jump right in, I want to introduce our keeper tonight. It's Scott Dorwood from the good friends of Jackson Elias. Thank you so much for joining us, Scott.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Joe. It's an absolute pleasure.
So Scott's actually keeping tonight a scenario he wrote called Blackwater Keep, and so I'm a player. So as I said before, my name's Joe, and I'm playing Ken Reeves, who's a student and baseball player. Owen, do you want to introduce your character?
Hi guys, I'm playing Theodore Teddy Harrington, Professor of Archaeology in Miskatonic University.
Hey, I'm Niall. I'm playing a character called Reginald Bryson, who is a journalist for the Boston Herald and has been sent up here to basically get a story on the missing professor that has... Oh, the professor and his wife that have gone missing up here. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Dave. I'm playing Alistair Scott, who's a retired World War One veteran and a history professor, military history professor, and a good friend of the missing professor. He's also a Scots, apparently. For which people have been mocking my accent, for which they will burn in eternal hell.
I can't imagine anyone mocking someone's accent. So, on last week's episode, three investigators plus my student gathered together in... Is it the dean of the university or just...
No, the head of the archaeology department.
An Ernest McTavish, who... asked them to investigate the problem of a missing professor, one Henry Rhodes. The party split up immediately. Owen went off to investigate Henry Rhodes' office and found two books, The Indian Tribes of the Northeast and the Myths and Legends of Old Massachusetts. He found a number of pertinent facts. First of all, he found out that in the area the professor was investigating, there used to be a mysterious and dangerous Indian tribe called the Children of the Black Earth, who all disappeared, were murdered, or something terrible happened to them. He also found out that a group of pilgrims, a group of travellers, settled in the area, started a town called Cade's Rest, and that also has disappeared. The professor was investigating that disappearance. My character, Ken, and Dave's character, headed off to interview a couple of graduate students who had been working with the professor on the dig. I spoke to an Agnes Holmes, who discovered that there were a number of incredibly dangerous farmers who tried to scare off the group from the area, and also found out there's some friendly farmers called the Jarvies on the east side of Blackwater Creek who we can maybe stay with. Dave, what's your character called, Dave?
Alistair Scott.
Probably found out some more pertinent facts. He spoke to a student called Clarence Welliver, who spoke of nightmares and finding a whole load of bones, which mysteriously were then recovered up after being found. And I think before my microphone and internet cut out, the last pertinent fact was that the professor had acquired a whole load of dynamite. Have I missed anything out?
Niall is currently en route to Walt Gehrig's house. The last piece.
Okay, well, let's pick up with that then. So, as I mentioned, Walt Gehrig, the other graduate student who accompanied Professor Rhodes and his wife Abigail to Blackwater Creek, has dropped out of university, but he still lives in Arkham. He lives in a fairly mouldering old house on the outskirts of town, this not particularly large, but detached wooden house. When you get there to the address that Professor McTavish gave you, The house, it's not in the best state of repair anyway. The garden is very badly overgrown. There's patches of dead grass outside. The curtains are all drawn. And there is a general air of neglect to the place.
Splitting the party was a really good idea.
I feel like I might actually be the first one to die after that description. So here we go. I guess pull up outside the house in the car, kind of just make a few notes in my notepad that I have. I'm kind of not sure if I'm going to get a story out of this yet, so I'm just like kind of writing down like fighting with locals, made a student quit the college, put them in danger, and then like wooden leg and like written at the top and like a big question mark, like he's trying to think of something to write about the wooden leg to make the story a bit more interesting. And then he kind of takes out a hip flask, takes a swig out of that, and then gets out of the car and goes up and knocks on the door of the house.
Okay. After a few moments, you hear sounds of movement inside, and the front door opens, just a crack, and in the light you can see there is this painfully thin young man. He's got dark, greasy hair, which, it doesn't look like it's been combed. It looks like it's been swept back with his fingers. His face looks quite sallow. There are bags under his eyes. And he just peers out. Yes?
Hi, are you Walt Gehrig?
I am.
Hello there. I'm down here with writing a story for the Boston Herald on the disappearance of your old professor, Henry Rhodes. Would I be able to talk to you for a few moments?
But is he still not back from Blackwater Creek?
No, he's been gone a couple of months now. No one's heard from him since June.
Oh no, that's terrible, he says. I mean, he turns around and he walks away from the door. He doesn't open it, but he's walking back inside and he hasn't closed the door in your face.
So I push the door open a bit more and let myself in and follow him in the hallway. Would I be able to ask you a few questions about when you were down there?
Sure, yes. It can't be long. I need to tend to Mother, but yes, I've got a few minutes for you. Close the door and come in.
Close the door. Go into the house. From talking
he leads you into a living room, which is, the curtains are drawn, but he's got a couple of electric lights going. There are books and papers everywhere, covering just about every surface. And there are, pads with all sorts of notes written. You can't actually see anywhere to sit down. The couple of chairs there are just covered with books and journals and magazines or pamphlets.
Are they is there any common theme throughout all the notes and books and stuff, or is it just random everything?
Looking around, I mean, you can see stuff that there's some, what appears to be some psychology texts. There's a couple of books on myths. There's there's a pamphlet sitting over there that's by some kind of psychical research society. There's another one, a book on theosophy. It seems to be a fairly eclectic selection. Looking around, a lot of it does seem to be about dreams and interpreting dreams.
Kind of look around, it's like a...
And he just sits down, obviously, in the little den or nest that he's made for himself, surrounded by his papers, and just looks down and he sort of thinks for a moment and just makes a scribble on a bit of paper and then looks up as if he's surprised to see you there. And
Reginald Bryson, and I extend my hand out to shake his hand.
His hand's quite cold and clammy.
Wipe it off my shirt. Continue on with my sentence. Could I ask you about your time up in Blackwater Creek? What were you doing up there, and what happened exactly?
Well, I went up there with the professor and his wife, with Abigail, and I mean, it was just a dig. I mean, it was a very personal project for the professor, and. And he stops and he looks around. Did he hear anything there? No, it's all right. Did you hear a bell?
No, I did not.
Good. Right. Anyway, sorry, but what was I saying? Oh, yes, the dig. So, yes, I mean, we all went along there. I was there with Agnes and Clarence, and yeah, we helped out, you know, as we could. There wasn't really that much to do. And then, you know, it all got a bit unpleasant with the, you know, the local farmers there. And
what happened with the local farmers? Why were they? What was the situation there?
Between you and me, I think there's something illegal going on there. Yeah, it's there's some of the farmers who, you know, they're being very protective of their land there, and maybe they're growing something they're not supposed to, or maybe it's a guess. I think they might be making maybe illegal grain alcohol there or something.
Okay, and on the actual dig, was anything found? Did the professor discover anything?
Well, there were some bones which seemed to upset the professor. He didn't really want to let us look at them. You did hear the bell that time, didn't you?
No, I didn't hear a bell. Are you okay?
Look, I'm sorry. I need to check. Anyway, yeah, it's what, about 1 o'clock? I should probably take her some tea now. She's probably finished her lunch. Please, just wait here for a moment.
Okay.
I can't restrain myself. Mother! Mother! Sorry.
I've just got sort of visions of Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Psycho going through my mind right now.
My character is very, very uncomfortable right now. So has Walt left the room?
Yes, he's got up. I mean, he's gone into an adjoining room, which you work out as the kitchen. There is actually a sort of sliding panel between the two. Obviously, you reckon that the room you're sitting in is actually probably the dining room. You can see him there, you know, making some tea and putting some biscuits on a plate. He gets a tray and you know, goes and heads up the stairs.
Okay. When he goes up the stairs, I go over and look at what he was writing down on the piece of paper.
Okay. Some of it is. In fact. Do I want to make you roll for this? No. It's, some of it is just kind of random notes. I mean, he's got books on, like I say, about half dozen different subjects, and he's just making all sorts of different references. But interspersed with there, there's all sorts of marginal notes about, the fact that he's, you know, she's always in his dreams, as you flick through, I mean, there's a couple of references where he's starting to doubt at times whether he is actually awake or whether all of this is a dream. Sometimes he wonders whether he's died, and you know, these are the dreams that wait for us beyond.
And is there anything about like hearing things, like bells, for example?
No, he doesn't mention the bells in there.
And can I hear him upstairs? Can I hear him talking to anyone, or?
He does seem to be talking to someone upstairs.
Do I hear anyone talking back?
Give me a listen roll.
Twenty's base. You got a shot anyway.
I got 14 on a 40.
So hard success.
Okay. Yeah, you're fairly certain that, yeah, he's talking to someone. Well, yeah, I mean, he seems to be having a conversation, but you can't hear anyone talking back to him.
So, as far as I'm concerned, he's talking to himself. Can I pick up anything that he's saying?
He's saying something along the lines of, but you haven't eaten anything. You'll waste away if you don't eat something.
Can I maybe try to sneak up and see who he's talking to?
Yeah, give me a stealth roll.
Stealth roll, yeah. 88 out of 20.
Okay, so you get halfway up the stairs and you hit a creaky step. Your foot just catches it in time, but you know that if you carry on at the stage, you're going to make enough noise, or probably going to make enough noise to for him to notice. I mean, you could always, try to step around it and miss the walls. Perhaps reach up to the banisters and give yourself a bit more leverage to step over the broken step.
Push the roll.
I'm going to push the roll.
Excellent. This is what we like.
You wonder why you will die. 68. This is what happens to me. I get peer pressure.
Yeah. I rolled a 68 on a 20.
Okay, so you do. You reach up to the banister to lever yourself over, and that's when you realise how rotten the banisters are. And as you kind of put your weight on it, it just cracks, and you pull one of the balustrades out, and there is this crack of wood like a gunshot that goes through the house, and you can hear the rattles of plates and so on as Walt's feet stomp across the landing. And he's suddenly there at the top of the stairs and was glaring down at you and said, Mr. Bryson, are you lost? Is everything quite all right down there?
I was going to come up and ask you, would you mind if I made myself a cup of tea? It's quite chilly down here.
Yes, I suppose that would be all right. By the way, from where you are, I mean, considering you've pulled yourself up a bit more, you can just see over the edge of the landing now. And you can see, the door is ajar to a room, there is a tray with some plates and a cup that's sitting on a very neatly made bed there.
But there's nothing in the bed?
No.
I kind of glance at it very briefly and get back to him. I hope your mother's all right.
Yes. She's not eating. It's a bit of a worry, but maybe she'll like the cookies.
I hope so. And I kind of back up down the stairs very slowly, staring at him.
And he turns around, looks back in the direction of the open room as you're doing so. Yes, mother, I'm coming.
Okay, so this guy's fucking crazy. If I looking around the kitchen, is there anything that I might spot that's out of the ordinary, kind of anything? I think everything in this house is pretty out of the ordinary at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of there's a few bowls of food untouched bowls of food that you've got. Things like soup that have got a bit of a film over them now, and sitting by the sink.
In the dining room area, if I check the books and the papers and stuff, do I see anything about Blackwater Creek or Cage Rest?
No.
Or
no, in fact, looking around, it's kind of significant that, there's not only is there nothing about that, but considering that, he's a postgraduate archaeology student, there is nothing at all even about archaeology or history here.
So you said there was stuff about psychology,
theosophy, myths, legends, dream interpretations.
All right.
Philosophy, theology.
Okay, is there any other rooms in the house downstairs that I can snoop through?
There's a living room which is largely covered with dust sheets. If it weren't for sort of chaos of paperwork and the activity you'd seen in the kitchen, you'd almost think that this house was abandoned.
Okay. I guess I'll pour myself a cup of tea, and I have just one more question to ask him whenever he's back down.
Yeah, he comes back down in a moment. You're carrying the tray, and he's got the broken banister on it, balustrade. And sitting there, he sort of glares at you as he's got that tucked under his arm.
Sorry about that. So yeah, when he comes back in and sits down, I guess I just want to ask him, why is it that you dropped out of the your archaeology studies, or dropped out of the Miskatonic University?
Because I have to look after my mother now. She's ill. She's not been quite herself recently, and it's a full-time job looking after her.
Okay.
Now there's a point. When you were looking through all the paperwork and so on, give me a this is retroactive. Either a spot hidden or a library use role to sort of make to find something in amongst all the chaos of paperwork.
68 on a 70.
Okay. There's some correspondence in there as well, and one of the bits of correspondence there is from the local cemetery. Is a bill about the upkeep on the grave of a Mrs. Gehrig.
All right. Thanks for your time. Thanks for all the help. I hope your mother's all right. I'm going to take off now. Thanks for everything.
I'll give her your best wishes, shall I?
Yes, please.
She'll like that.
Okay, I'm glad.
And if you're ever back in the area, right? Do come back. I mean, we don't get many visitors here, and my mother does like it when people visit.
Okay. I will come back after my investigation, and I'll help prepare your banister, and I'll visit your mother.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. And I get the fuck out of there. do we all, pick a time and place that we'll reconvene, or...?
Sure.
Let's assume we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Retcon.
we can meet in my house. probably not appropriate for two professors to rock up to halls.
I think my office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In among the fucking cutlasses and fucking bastard swords and stuff that he has adorning the walls, I assume.
We go to Owen's
probably,
office.
Probably, yeah.
He's just stolen a load of stuff from Henry's. It's just sitting on his desk.
It's like his chair.
Yeah.
In fact, can we bump into him, like wheeling his chair?
Sir, where are you going? It's not even that. You go to my office, and on the front door it now says Henry Rhodes, with a haphazardly paved on brass placard. And across the hall, it's got the other one.
So, esteemed academics and professors, I've got baseball practice in an hour. Have we solved this mystery? It seems that I think we might have solved it. It's farmers with shotguns, isn't it? That's right.
Look, Shaggy, settle down there with some snacks.
I think you might be a few decades out there, boy.
It's a reference you'll get when you're older.
Much, much older.
Whoa, meta.
Fourth wall broken.
So, what did you guys discover? We just go at this point. Do we need to go through everything, or do you want to just assume we all told each other everything?
I think it's always less awkward to just assume everyone told everything.
I could do because there's a lot happening in Niles. What exactly did you find out, Niall? I feel like I've missed pieces.
Basically, he's talking to someone he's calling mother. His mother's actually dead. And he's saying...
Well,
I heard him saying... Well,
there was the grave of Mrs. Garrick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was Walter Garrick. So.
It's my assumption.
Was. I missed that.
Yeah. And then he was bringing tea and biscuits up to an empty room and saying his mother was sick. And he was also saying... I heard him over say... she's always in, she's always, no, on a piece of paper he had written down, she's always in his dreams and stuff like that.
But where was the grave, or how did you, was the grave in the writing, or did he tell you that?
It was on the table. There was a bill for, a cemetery bill for the upkeep of Mrs. Gehrig's, grave. So basically, he's also having weird dreams, like, Clarence?
So, for the notes, Walter, semicolon, is nuts. Miss Gehrig's, yes. Miss Gehrig's grave, that about covers it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one that mentioned dreams, am I right?
Yes, no. Clarence Welliver mentioned having nightmares about crushing darkness, not being able to breathe.
Did he mention any mother?
No mother.
No mother?
Okay. Mother. Does anyone have an occult skill?
No. Yes, I think.
Would it be metagaming at all to link what we've heard with the Professor Armitage's
yes,
stuff in Dunwich, Scott?
University. No, it is MU, yeah.
Happened like what? 10 years ago. My character wouldn't know, but your characters would.
What is this Professor Armitage and
I think 10 years ago I would have been, what's the date? I missed that. It's the 24th of September.
1928.
Well, it's not a power game, Joel. Keep it in the scenario.
It's a cool Lovecraft reference. It's not Power Game.
What I would have been in the wars.
True.
It's certainly, I mean, from the stories you've heard about what Professor Armitage got up to, I mean, I don't think you shared quite all the details. But it doesn't sound entirely related. In fact... No, I can't really think of too many parallels other than the fact that it happened with about maybe 10 or 15 miles away.
So, okay. At this point, we've shared all our information and stuff. Is there a consensus around the room of where we should go next? We have essentially just list places. We know about the Sikawuk tribe, who are also known as the People of the Black Earth or the Children of the Black Earth.
Yeah, we know about the bones that were found and he buried them again.
There is... Yeah, that's by the wooden bridge near Dunwich or the Blackwater Creek.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind finding out a bit, maybe, possibly, about who Mary Dyer was, who is the reason they were all left.
Okay, I mean, but actually, there's... you've got a couple of academics, historians, and I've got a historian and an archaeologist, mm-hmm. So if either of you passes a history role...
Cool.
I rolled a 94 versus 50.
Oh, Lord.
Neither of you have heard of Mary Tyler.
I also have history.
It's to do with war. I couldn't be bothered with it.
Sorry, what was that now?
Oh, for fuck's sake, 70 out of 60. We all suck.
Apparently Mary Dyer has been wiped from all records.
The sad thing is, I think is Mary Dyer a real person?
Oh, hang on.
Yes.
No,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I think I actually know vaguely what Mary Dyer is about as a real person.
Joel Rose is an 88 versus 5.
Well, I don't think I was in the Mary Dyer lecture.
Do you know what you had for breakfast, Joe, with a 5?
Hang on, I'll just roll. No.
Well, you just failed your spot breakfast roll.
Right, I think it's clear. We need to head to this village and figure out what these farmers are about. I don't think there's any great mystery here other than the fact that these bastards, for whatever reason, are... drove him out, or perhaps drove him into hiding.
So just as Mary Dyer, she was the woman who got accused of witchcraft or hanged for witchcraft in Boston, and then they all left to go and found this new village to escape.
Except it wasn't for witchcraft.
No, she was just hanged. Just hanged.
Yeah, it was because she was a Quaker, and the Puritans did not approve of the Quakers.
History fact, the Puritans did not flee to America from persecution. They flew to America to be free to persecute.
Yep.
America's changed so much!
bit of politics in the role-playing.
Sorry, we actually try to avoid that generally.
Yep, don't get yours started. We talked about Tories and the DUP for hours.
Oh, Jesus. Moving swiftly on.
No, don't make the keeper roll sanity.
I failed that sanity roll several times already. Yeah.
So if we're heading into Blackwater Creek, do I need my bus pass?
No, boy, but you might need to learn to shut your fucking mouth. At this point, sort of, at the thought of sort of violent confrontation, you see Alistair sort of has a bit of a skip in it, a bit of a lightness to his step that's been missing. He's obviously very much looking forward to this, and with great sort of relish, he opens the top right-hand drawer of his desk and pulls out this 1898 Colt revolver and just spins the chamber and loads it up and just puts it back. It's like, oh, it's like an old friend it is.
Medieval historian, my ass.
World War One vet.
Jesus Christ, Dave. Your fucking character is crazy for fighting. 60 brawl, 60 handgun, 45 rifle. What?
I'm a soldier. I'm a bit of a shit historian, but I'm an actual soldier.
He apparently has zero in sword fighting. That's literally a typo, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank you for spoiling the joke.
Ah.
I have this saber, sort of, you know, inlaid, beautiful infantryman saber behind my desk, which I obviously do not touch. It's only for parade, that is. Fuck knows how to use one.
Whoa, you only have 10% more archaeology than I do. I could be a professor.
Oh, I have no idea what's going on now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were basically deciding where we're going to go. Are we going to go to Blackwater Creek, or
I think that's all that's left, right?
Oh, I know. The Jarvies. We need to go to the Jarvies.
The who and the what now?
Oh, did I not tell you? So, when they went to Blackwater Creek before, the farmers were like total, like, horrible people.
I don't know what a 1920s appropriate word for dude would be.
Blackguards?
So, we'll go with that, Mr. Archaeology. And we'll, but there, they met the Jarvies on the east side of town. Some totally amazing farmers who were up for maybe hooking us up with a place to stay.
Okay. Well, that's an option. Could we swing by the grave of Mrs. Gehrig first? I'd just like to check some things.
Who's Mrs. Gehrig?
Gross.
The boy, Walt Gehrig, on his table there was a cemetery bill for the upkeep of his what I'm assuming is his mother's grave, and I would just... When I was there, he was taking tea upstairs to who he said was his mother, and she was sick. I want to see how long she's been dead for, to think maybe this could be some mental issue that he's developed since she's passed away recently, or if she's been dead longer than, say,
it's a mental issue regardless of how long she's dead for. Yeah, just so we're clear, if it was yesterday, if it was 10 years ago, it's still a mental issue.
So does anyone have a car?
I do too.
1923 Biddle sedan.
Biddle
That's
sedan.
Actually
sounds
the exact
like a
same car that I have. Because I don't know any other cars from that time.
A Biddle sounds like a house pet. Biddles!
I was just looking for like a middle-of-the-road-ish looking car that's from the 20s. That one looks... All right.
You'll know from the information that McTavish has given you that Blackwater Creek, as the crow flies, is probably about 50 miles from here. But, you know, the journey is not going to be as the crow flies. And, you know, the students, you know, who you've spoken to, you know, and amongst the other things, you know, will quite happily have volunteered the information that it's a bit of a painful drive getting there, because a lot of the roads are little more than dirt tracks. They're, you know, a lot of winding, circuitous routes. So, you know, it's probably going to be a day's drive to get there.
And it's sort of, I guess it's sort of midday by now?
Sort of. Yeah, it's probably... Yeah, it's early afternoon at this stage, maybe about 2 o'clock.
Well, then I suggest, gentlemen, that we retire for the evening and then leave bright and early tomorrow.
We can check out the we can check out the grave tonight, then, I guess, can we? Or today.
Well, today. Let's go to the graveyard. What bad will happen?
I meant today. Yeah, roll that back. We want to do it under the light of a fresh new moon. And we have a virgin, Niles, with us, so we're good.
Shit. Abby's not.
So yeah, is one of more of you going to check the grave out?
I guess we'll all go. I'm mildly interested. Alistair's mildly interested.
Pretty sure Ken has no idea what's going on. He's just like, yeah, man, let's go.
Oh, what?
Well, the groundskeeper, you know, can point you in the direction of the grave. And, yeah, I mean, it's... there's a headstone on it, you know, which the first thing you notice, so it's obviously not that new. And, you know, when you check the inscription on there... Yeah, Martha Gerrick has been dead for 4 years.
4 years, okay. So, guys...
Oh, I thought you said that he was feeding her tea or something.
He's crazy. That's it.
Case closed.
Case closed.
Oh.
Something up there made
kids
go crazy.
That's why you're the journalist.
That's why I'm... It's going to be one hell of an article.
I'm not one for believing in things like this, but something very strange is going on around this Black Creek thing.
It is strange. Did Abigail mention anything? Is it Abigail? Or is it... No.
No, Agnes. Abigail's the wife.
Agnes.
Did Agnes mention anything about the bones, or was it just the other two who seemed to have seen
it? Just the other two. Agnes seemed remarkably normal, despite the fact that she was talking to a stuffed doll.
Oh, what? Hey?
Never mind, boyo, never mind.
I feel like we should bring a bar of chocolate with us just to give him to entertain himself every time the adults are talking. Just hand them a square of chocolate.
No, just like to see the rain. No,
just a good boy.
Pick up a baseball.
I like chocolate.
Pick up a baseball and just throw it. He'll chase after it.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a baseball.
So, there's nothing else unusual about the grave. Sort of, you know, give it a nice little wander, look at the graves around it.
No, there are a lot of graves around here. It's a graveyard.
Let's check every individual grave. I think we'll find something.
Yeah, every single one. What's the grave next to her?
I'm going to roll a spot hidden on every grave in this graveyard.
I feel like I have failed as a scenario writer because I did not detail every grave in the graveyard.
If I did an overall survey of the iconography of the gravestones, would I be able to date the periods in which the graveyard was in the most heavy use?
So the next day.
So much editing.
I'm gonna
for
roll. I'm going to roll a spot hidden on the graveyard. It's a hard success.
You see a grave.
Except for a strange little inscription that says, Scott hates you.
Interesting.
It says, here died Niles' character.
Oh, here's a grave with my name on it.
Whoa, this grave says Reginald Bryson. That's you.
So,
whoa.
Shall we continue?
Anyway. Next morning Alistair Scott's car.
I'm not going in your car. I'm going in Niall's car.
Reginald's car.
Reginald's car.
What about global warming? Why are we taking two
cars? Oh, God.
So you're taking two cars up to Blackwater Creek with you, are you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. They don't last long.
No. We'll need as many as we can get. Like,
we've used more cars than we have bullets in our scenarios.
Almost.
So I turn up in the morning, like, in my full
sort of sports kit with a bag over my shoulder.
So, we'll be back today, right? I've brought my baseball kit. I've got practice at 5.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be back.
Oh, you and your high stockings and pinstripe uniform and everything, are you?
No, I'm going to... I'm thinking through. No, that's in the bag with my baseball
kit. I really wish you were in uniform.
Sure we will, laddie. Sure we will. Okay. Just get in the car like a good boy.
Here's a piece of candy.
So I throw that all into the boot.
Yeah, I just like, give him a chocolate bar and he's like, just keep yourself amused.
Oh, chocolate. Whoa.
Start up the engine. And we're off.
Okay. Oh, can we strap Ken into the kid's seat?
Can I in the back?
Wait, no.
Can I drive?
No, you can't drive. Now, Ken, before we leave, did you use the bathroom? Because I'm not stopping.
I'm not a child. I'm 19.
Do you need to go boom boom?
But no, I didn't go to the bathroom. Can I just go?
We're wasting so much time.
I'm sober. This is disturbing.
I gotta just shake my head, take a swig of whiskey out of the flask, put it back in the jacket while I'm waiting for him to come back.
And Owen said I shouldn't do this
twice. I didn't say you shouldn't. I asked several times. Are you sure it's a good idea?
Is anyone else who's in what car? So it sounds like Ken's in
mine. Reginald's.
I'm in the.
Car,
I'm definitely
Reginald's
in the other car.
Did like between the three of us to be flip a coin?
Teddy's in the car with me with Alistair, mm-hmm. And we're on the road. We're driving.
Right, so yeah, it does take you the best part of the day to make it out there. I mean, you drive out in the direction of Dunwich, and you know that leg of the journey, you know, takes you a reasonable chunk of the day. But then once you do that, I mean, you're in an area now where there are no road signs, where you know. Every now and then, you know, a road, you know, a side road will just sort of appear in amongst all the trees and the undergrowth, and you know, maybe that's the one that you want to go down, maybe it's not. You know, the map that you've got is ambiguous. And you, in amongst, you know, you're not just driving through, you know, through thick woods. I mean, it's also in places, you know, you're through the foothills around Dunwich. So, you know, there are a few sort of winding roads along or along cliff faces. There are, you're moving over a couple of passes between hills. But, you know, after the best part of the day, when the sun is, you know, beginning to get low in the sky at this stage, but you come around, you know, a little pass between the hills, and you're looking down, and down below you can see the glint of the Miskatonic River off in the distance, and you can see, you know, there's, you know, some woodland down below. There's more than that, you're in an area where there seem to be a number of farms growing crops. You know, the ones you can see, a lot of the crops have been harvested, or at least, you know, some of them are ready to be harvested. But you know, it looks like it's mostly grain around here, either wheat or corn. But yeah, you can see that the road you're on goes down, and you know, off in the distance, down, you know, close to the river, you can see what does look like you know, a settlement down there. And it doesn't look like a large town, but at least there's a group of buildings down there.
Thank fuck for that. Never learned to read those bloody maps in the war. It was always just charge forward. You fucking needed a map.
What I would like, though, is for everyone at the stage to make a power roll.
Cool.
Power roll.
So, out of my 60 favourite baseball players, I think Grover Alexander was my favourite. Maybe Dazzy Fanks was my second favourite.
At this stage, I'm just
Red
slamming my head off the steering wheel almost at this stage. Like.
My fourth was Epa Rixley.
Alistair failed with an 82 against 60.
So only one failed. Person passed.
So I passed. Call out your rolls there, guys. 45 versus 70, I passed.
I got a 66 versus 50.
63 versus 50.
Okay, so most of you are completely oblivious to this. But Niall, as Reggie, it was Owen who passed. Yeah. Oh, sorry, as Professor Harrington, kind of looks around as kind of coming over the brow of this hill and down the track, you can feel maybe what feels like a headache coming on. There's you can hear your pulse. Is it your pulse in your ears? There's a sort of noise. Maybe you just drove over something in the road. Maybe it was a pothole, but it sounded it didn't feel physical. It sounded like the reverberation came from inside your head.
Cool. Like in a way that it came and it's gone, or it's like, well, that's uncomfortable, and I'm kind of.
Yeah, it's gone, and then.
I'm gonna turn to Scott. Did you feel that?
Feel what?
No, I think I'm just getting a bit of a headache. It's just, I don't know. There's a thumping in my ears.
Oh, that's horrible when you get that.
Yeah.
Great small talk there, guys.
And in the other car. And my fifth favorite piece of advice. Oh, my head. If you got a headache, I've got a headache.
Niall also has a headache, but for totally different reasons.
I've had a headache for the last 12 hours.
Well, at least you've had my baseball facts to help you forget about it.
Let's try a new game. Whoever talks first loses.
Okay. Oh shit.
Go.
Yeah. I mean, well, as you drive down, I mean, you're coming past. I mean, there's a large kind of open area that is very overgrown with long grasses. There's some woodland. You can see coming up the road towards you. There is a small van driving up the road, bouncing along, heading straight in your direction. Now, you're on a single track road, so he flashes his lights at you and looks for somewhere just to pull off to the side.
Which one of us is leading? Which car is leading?
I assume Niall.
Why? I would assume you guys, because I have, like, no help in the seat next to me. You guys can probably navigate a bit better.
That's
fine. Number six.
I don't understand this map at all. Just, I can see Boston, but then where are the signs? What's going on?
You're looking at the cover of a book called Boston.
Album artwork from a really, really futuristic band.
So I guess I'll slow down. It's not dark yet, so I don't have my head lamps up.
Yeah.
Yes, we would have had head lamps.
Oh, the van at this stage is pulled over, and a man gets out. He looks like he's probably in maybe his mid-50s. He's got short white hair and a fairly neatly trimmed white beard. He's wearing a tweed jacket. And he sort of gets out and stretches his back a bit and waves at you.
I guess I'll sort of slow down and just sort of pull up next to him. And ask, good day to you. I was looking for the Greaves farm.
You're not from round here. You're not from round here, are you? He says.
No, I'm not.
I'll lean across. The Jarvis farm. You might not understand his accent. Like, I can translate if needed.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, the Jarvis.
Yeah. Oh, you're friends of Malcolm and Edith.
Friends of friends. Yeah, well, we have some friends who might be staying with them. Stayed with them a while back. They said that it's a good friendly home if you're looking to spend a day or two in the area.
Oh yeah. So I mean, yeah, they put people up the whole time. Well, I say the whole time. I mean, you don't get that many visitors to Blackwater Creek, but yeah, the few times people do pass through, yeah, they're always happy to.
Are you local friend?
No, I actually live up in Dunwich, but... sorry, he's very rude of me. My name's John Merritt. I'm the local veterinarian. I've just been down doing my rounds in the farms down here.
I see.
What is it that brings you to Blackwater Creek, then?
We're here for the university. We're just looking at the area, doing some surveys, you know, just gathering information, the Historical Society. We're here with some kids. You'll see a student in the car behind us. Real, real grade A student, a real love of history. He did a diorama once.
Yeah.
Oh. If the history involves sticks and balls, that is.
Well, he's, I mean, I think there were some historians or something like that passing through here a few months ago, weren't there?
Aye, friends of ours, actually. They're the ones that recommended the Jarvis house.
Oh, yes. Good. Yeah, in fact, I was just down there with Malcolm and Edith. I think if you can afford to pay them, they'd be very, very grateful. They're seeing hard times at the moment. I mean, most of the farmers around here are having real problems at the moment with livestock.
Livestock, you see?
Yeah, there's, I don't know, I've not seen the like before. There's some disease going around. I've never seen anything like it.
What are the symptoms, Mr. Merritt? Like, what happens to these poor creatures?
Well, it's a number of things. I mean, some of them seem to get skin lesions and boils and stuff like that. But the thing that's causing the most problems is that, none of them have given birth to a healthy litter for... Oh, the last month, even things like the eggs and the chickens are getting affected. I've seen litters of piglets born that, they should have been dead, but they weren't quite. I mean, it's like they went mouldy in their mother's womb, and I don't know. I'm not a superstitious man, but there was, I don't know, something in their eyes. As we killed them, there was something, I don't know. It's like they were watching me, like they knew what was going on.
That's a perfect way to end this episode, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Just because it's really spooky, really awesome. So again, that's a goodbye from me and a goodbye from the normal crew.
Goodbye. See you later, guys.
A really big thank you to Scott. And Scott, is there anything again that you'd like to plug at your end?
Well, once again, then, yes, I would like to take the opportunity to plug the Good Friends of Jackson Liars podcast. So if you are interested in learning more about Call of Cthulhu or horror, just interested in hearing stuff about horror films or weird fiction or other horror RPGs, then we talk about all these things.
Brilliant. And that's it. Goodbye, and we'll see you next week.
Cheerio.
Thanks for listening and stuff. If you like the show, then consider sponsoring us on Patreon. You'll get early episodes and make us feel like really good and stuff. You can also give us an iTunes review and subscribe to us on iTunes. What? Oh, okay. If you like the music and stuff, then Battle Bards gave us loads of cool tunes and sound effects, and you get them too. That's all from me. Bye. Oh, and here's a word from our wonderful sponsor, Polymorph Crafts. Bye!
This week's episode is sponsored by the wonderful folks at Polymorph Crafts and their Mimic Chest. It is a unique way to carry your dice, minifigures, pens, pencils and more, and it is awesome. This gorgeous handcrafted wood mimic chest uses over 200 magnets to transform an easy-to-carry chest to everything you need for D&D. A dice tower, a rolling tray, 3 dice vaults, 2 pen and pencil holders, plus card stands for spell or attack cards, with plenty of extra space inside, so you'll never leave anything at home. Polymorph Crafts are running a Kickstarter. I think there's about 12 days left, so there's still time for you to get one of these amazing products. We were lucky enough to get an early version of it, and it is absolutely fantastic. I really, really love it, and I hope you guys will too.